In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter writes these words, "But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, Peter is talking about Christians who are suffering under persecution at this particular time. And he tells them that they should rejoice knowing that if they endure under these persecution, that there's going to come a time when they're going to be glad that they did endure and that they lasted. Because Jesus is going to be revealed one day and His glory is going to be revealed, and then they're going to be exceedingly joyful. Well, it's about that day that we would like to think for a little bit, and the rest of time after that, if you will. Because what Peter is discussing here is the joy that the Christian will have when Christ comes back again, when the Christian enters into eternity, and when he gets to realize his ultimate desire, being with God and Christ in eternity forever. And that's what I would like to think about with you this evening, rejoicing in eternity. Now, Jesus said this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, Jesus gave us some truths that we can hang on to right here and now in order to rejoice and be joyful. And some of those truths that He gave us have to do with our perspective of the future, with our view of what's going to happen in eternity. We talked a few weeks ago about the idea that a good leader paints a bright future. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He was not only a good leader, a great leader. And He gives us such a bright future for eternity. And He gives this to His disciples and apostles. And then they go out and they preach this. And we think about these things today as well. And I hope that as we think about these things, we'll let this motivate us to faithful living. Because one of the aspects to understanding the joy that we're going to experience in eternity is to motivate us to faithful living today, so that we will be faithful, so that we will endure, so that we will overcome and one day be with God and Christ forever. Well, that's the concept that I would like to discuss tonight. And one of the reasons the Christian has to rejoice in his life, in the here and now, is because of the hope of heaven. And we sing about heaven all the time. I appreciated the songs that were led tonight. And especially that song, you know, about the... the title is escaping me for a minute here. Yeah, in the land of fadeless day, that's it. You know, Eliza City, Foursquare, it shall never pass away. For there is no night there. And that's such a beautiful song. And I love that song. And that song is a song about heaven. And we like to sing about heaven. And it's good that we sing about heaven, because heaven motivates us to live in the way that we should live. Perhaps the most motivating for the Christian in thinking about heaven are these few matters that we're going to think about tonight, at least start on. We may have to continue these thoughts in another sermon. But first of all, in eternity, we will be with God. We will be with God. And just thinking about that in and of itself is a beautiful thought. Number two, in eternity, we will be separated from evil. Now, if you consider that evil is a large portion of what causes us not to rejoice here on the earth, then going to eternity and being separated from evil is going to be a wonderful thing indeed. In eternity, number three, we will have a new body. And I think that's a wonderful thing as well, because this body, you know, it gets old and it breaks down, and we're going to need a new body for eternity. But then finally, in eternity, we will be united together in love. And all the things that divide us, all the problems that we may have amongst ourselves, all of those things are going to be wiped out. You say, well, how is that even possible? Well, God can make it possible. God can make it happen. And so this is something to really look forward to. Heaven is such a great place. And I really want to go there. And I hope you want to go there too. And so as we think about rejoicing in eternity, I hope that we'll each be able to give, you know, a good solid reason why that we have our hope in heaven. Why that we our joy is motivated by heaven. And of course, we want to encourage everyone to live faithfully so that we can see that day, so that we can be with God eternally in heaven. So let's think about some of these things this evening. And first of all, we want to notice this, that we rejoice in eternity because God will be there. There's an old story about a man who is sitting on one side of the door with his friend, and they were having a discussion about heaven and about God, and one of them was saying to them, you know, I just don't know about heaven. You know, why? What is it that's so special about the place? He was asking, and he was starting to question. And he was starting to think about, well, you know, maybe heaven's not such a big deal. Maybe it's just something that we've all made up or something like that. And the other guy said, oh, no. You see, heaven's going to be fantastic, if not for any other reason than that God will be there. And he said, well, how do you mean? What do you mean by that? And he said, let me illustrate something for you. And he whistled. And in bounded this dog into the room and jumped in the master's arms and you know, started licking him on the face and all of that. And, you know, he finally put him down. And his friend turned to him and said, I don't understand your meaning here. What are you trying to get at? And he said, well, think about it. Here was my dog was on the other side of the door. He couldn't see me. He didn't know I was here. But as soon as I whistled for him, he came running in for no other reason than that his master was there. And he knew his master loved him. And he turned to his friend and he said, that's a lot like what heaven's going to be like. Because our master is there. And we know that he loves us. And we don't know what's on the other side of that door exactly, but we know that he's there. And so we can go bounding in full assurance and full confidence that when we get there, it's going to be great. Yes, we should rejoice in eternity because God is going to be there. And we'll finally get to be with God in the fullest sense that we can be with Him. You know, God is with us right now. He's present here and now. And we're not taking anything away from that. But there is something of a veil between us and God at this point, and our feeble eyes can only see so much, and they can only perceive so much. And so we can't see God as He really is, but in heaven we will. In heaven, God will be there in His full glory. And so will Jesus the Christ. And it's going to be wonderful. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, the psalmist says this, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. The fullness of joy there in the presence of God Himself. And I believe that a lot of that joy and a lot of that pleasure comes from God Himself because of who God is, that He's a loving being, and that is His foundation, that's part of His existence, is love. God is love. Don't you just love being in the presence of somebody who's loving and kind and gentle and who loves you? It makes you feel so good, doesn't it? Gives you such a happy feeling of joy. Well, I know I love being in the presence of somebody who loves me. And there's contentment there and there's blessing there. And we get just such a faint view of that, even with the strong emotions that we have here. We get such a faint view of that. But in heaven, with God, we're going to get the full experience. And God's love is going to be overwhelming. It's going to be so great. We'll be in His presence. We'll also experience His glory. In Jude 1, verses 24 and 25, we read this. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. The fullness of God's glory. We don't know what that's like. The closest thing I think that we can experience to the fullness of God's glory is the sense of wonder that we have here in this world. I have had the privilege of being to some quite beautiful places on the earth. I've been to the Grand Canyon. It's a tremendously beautiful place. And if you get out there on the edge, you know, where you can see out into the canyon, it's overwhelming at times. I remember the first time I went to the Grand Canyon. And, of course, you know, in the very populated areas, there's all kinds of railings and things to keep people from accidentally falling over. But then when you get outside of those populated areas, they don't have railings all along the Grand Canyon, you know, the full length. They don't put them out there. And so you can get out there in some places and get right on the edge. And that is an exhilarating feeling. And I remember standing out on the edge of the Grand Canyon one time, and just this huge gust of wind came up, you know, whoosh. And the feeling of awe is just amazing. And I remember being out on the Grand Canyon the last time we went. And we went out to this one place and we laid down on a big rock. And it was at night. We looked up into the sky and there were billions of stars, you know, in the sky. Thousands of them. Just so many. And we counted within an hour, like 18 shooting stars. It was so clear out there. It was beautiful. And you get this sense of wonder, you know, that is really hard to describe. Now take all of the beautiful places that you have ever been, all of the wonder that you've ever experienced, and place that into one person, God. When we get there, we're going to experience the presence of His glory, His glory. And that's what the writer's talking about. The glory of God. And it's such a joy to experience that sense of wonder. And it's going to be a great joy to experience the presence of His glory. So it'll be joyful because we'll be in His presence. It'll be joyful because we'll experience His glory. It'll be joyful because we will see His holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Peter writes, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." When I think about the holiness of God, this is the idea of God's separateness, that He's radically different from everything else that is created. God is holy. And He wants us to be holy. And we can really only be holy because we've been made in His image. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Because He's given us a soul, a spirit, that can be holy. We don't have to be in subjection to the pressures and the forces of this world and everything that it is. When we give ourselves over to that, you see, that's unholiness. That's letting the world take control of our life instead of letting God be in control of our life and being holy as we should be. When I think of holiness, I think of something that's so awesome, you know, that you just don't want to touch it. I remember one time when I was in the state of Michigan, in the city of Detroit, and I was there on a business trip, and I was at a steel mill. I did some computer work back in the late 90s, and I would work on different business computers and upgrade them and make sure that they had all the right operating systems and things like that. And I enjoyed going to the different places and seeing all the different kinds of businesses. And one of our clients was a steel mill, U.S. Steel. I don't think they're in business anymore, but U.S. Steel was one of our clients. And I got to go to that big steel mill. That place was huge. And there's a steel mill not too far from here, down the road. And you can see all those big buildings. They're fascinating. But what goes on inside those big buildings is even more fascinating. And I got to go out to, you know, where they had the blast furnace and see where they made what they called the pig iron, all right? Where they blasted that iron until it became just like lava, molten steel. And they'd throw shale and coal in there, and that's what makes steel, is iron, shale, and coal. And that's your basic steel product right there. And I got to see that, and I remember standing over the top of one of those big railroad cars that held all of this lava, like, and looking down in that railroad car and just thinking, whew, I wouldn't want to fall down into that, you know. I wanted to maintain some distance. And I remember being on the other end of the whole process and seeing this huge block of steel come out of this extruder. And it was fascinating. But this huge block of steel, glowing orange, it was so hot. And you didn't want to get anywhere near it, you know, you're afraid you're just going to burn up. And I thought, man, if I were to touch that, my hand would just peel right off. There wouldn't be anything left. The sense of being separated from something, something that's so awesome, something that's so, in a real way, dangerous. That's holiness. God's holiness is like that. And if we're not covered by the blood of Christ, His holiness is dangerous. And it will reach out. And we won't like the consequences of it. But seeing that, seeing that huge block of steel, seeing that railroad car full of that pig iron just fills you with a sense of awe, and you leave thinking, wow, that was such an interesting experience, and you really enjoyed it, you know, because you got to see something you don't normally see. And God's holiness is like that. It's an amazing thing. It's something that we're going to experience, and we're going to think, I can't believe that I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now. I can't believe that I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing right now. And we as Christians covered by the blood of Christ will be the better for it. And it's going to be great to be in God's presence. To be holy as He is holy. So in eternity we'll be with God. We'll be in His presence. We'll experience His glory. We'll see His holiness. And all of these things are going to contribute to the joy that we have being with Him. It's hard for us to imagine, but it's true. But we'll also be with Christ, our Lord and Savior. You know, the one who went to that cross for us that we think about, you know, every Sunday when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we think about His death. We think about what He did for us. And being with Him in person is going to be such a great thing. Being able, like Thomas, to see the prints in his hands, you know, where the nails went in. That's going to be something. That's going to be amazing. We're going to be able to hear Him tell the story, just as He told it to the apostles, you know, when He came to this earth. To partake of His wisdom and to realize what a great decision it was to follow Him. Yes, it'll be the culmination of everything that we've longed for while here upon the earth, being with Him in eternity. Paul talks about it in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4. He says this, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." What a beautiful thought. When He appears, we're going to appear with Him in glory. And we'll be like Him. And you see, this is a wonderful thing too, because this Christ Jesus that we have, you know, gathered around the table to worship every first day of the week and remembering what He did for us, God says, you're going to be like Him. You're going to be with Him. Have you ever had a person that you you admire or you really looked up to in life, you know, somebody that you thought, well, he just hung the moon or she just hung the moon or something like that, you know. We've all had people like that. When I was a kid, you know, it was, and I'm having a hard time remembering because I'm thinking of these things off the top of my head, but when I was a kid, it was a running back for the Texas Longhorns. Help me out, Jamie. Come on. Earl Campbell. Yeah, Earl Campbell. I thought he was the coolest thing, you know. And, you know, he came to my school one time. I lived down in Austin. And those guys, they came out and they went to the different schools. And Earl Campbell came to my school. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world, you know, to be with him and to see him up there on that stage and to talk with him, get his autograph. That was really neat. That was really neat. But it's going to be so much better to see my Lord and Savior Jesus. Man, I just can't wait. I can't wait. And to be like Him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. 1 John 3 and verse 2. I hope that that's your desire. I hope that that's what you want. I hope that you understand that that's what we're living for, that that motivates us each and every day to seek to do what is right, to not give up, to keep going on. All of these things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmoving, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Yes, rejoicing in eternity means that we are going to be with God. That we're going to be with the Father. We're going to be with the Son. We're going to be with the Holy Spirit. And look, it's going to be great. It's going to be the realization of all your aspirations that you've ever had. Don't discount how wonderful it's really going to be. There's a song in our songbook, "Oh, to be like Thee, oh, to be like Thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as Thou art, come in Thy sweetness, come in Thy fullness, stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. I want to be like God, and I want to be with God." Do you want the same thing for your life? Why not make the choice this evening to become a Christian, to hear the words of Christ, to believe them, repent of sin, confess Him as Lord, and be baptized for the remission of sin so you can have the hope of heaven as well. All those things we talked about, therefore the faithful, therefore the ones who have committed themselves to Him, therefore those who are going to live for Him. Those things are not for those who've decided in their life that they're not going to follow after Christ. We need to give ourselves to Him if we want these wonderful, beautiful things that we're going to experience beyond anything that we've seen here on earth. Why not make the choice tonight? If you haven't been living faithfully, why not make things right with God tonight? Come back to Him so that you can be with Him forever one day while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.